and welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife based podcast, Fife Club. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club.
Yeah, James, you're back.
Yeah, I'm alive and well. you sound so happy to see me. Like, oh shit, it's him again.
It actually sounded like somebody cared about the intro.
I disagree with your entire positive outlook on life, James. It upsets me how positive you are.
I still don't. I think that's probably the least positive he's been as well.
Yeah, it's true. It still upsets me. Yeah.
Please do talk about Fife Club. And while you are talking about Fife Club, you can tell people about some exciting news that we have. If they prefer listening to programmed content, say like a radio station, then as of the new year, you can listen to your favourite Fife-based podcast on the new online station Radio Haver. Currently, we're looking at the Monday night 10 p.m. slot.
So very much the graveyard slot.
It just means it doesn't need to be censored.
We've got the Eurotrash slot.
Yeah, but on a Monday.
It does mean if you're on Radio Haver at a time and you're Havering, you know you're going to be, or you're going to be listening to us.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Oh, wow, yeah. That took a moment to
That's so
line.
Tedious it took a minute.
Just listening to that at Radio Haver going, do we need them?
Let's just cut these guys. Birdsong. 2 hours of birdsong.
I used to love that on digital radio.
Totally. Yep. I used to go to sleep to that.
Wake up in the morning to it as well. It's always good. That's happening. So, yeah, we're going to be on Radio Haver. As I say, time slot to be announced properly, but we reckon Monday 10 p.m.
It's moonlight. So
it's because we're so blue.
It's kind of cool. Hopefully get out to some new people, and I say if you prefer actually listen to a sort of more programmed station, there's going to be other podcasts, audio dramas, and local music. Their tagline is Radio Haver is Scottish radio station created by artists for artists. It's dedicated to bringing you the music from the stars of tomorrow, as well as the greatest podcasts, radio dramas and comedy from home and abroad.
That's a big word.
That is a big word.
I was getting excited about being thought about as an artist.
is it greatest as in the greatest showman? You know, it's not that great.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's like the greatest podcast. Like, we're not even the greatest podcast in Dunfermline.
Excuse me. Fife's premier Fife-based podcast.
We're not even the best podcast that has a desert island deck.
No, we're actually being absolutely trounced by James. I've forgotten his second name now. The guy
Lawson
that does
incoming.
The guy that does the desert island.
I thought of this first, mate.
I have to say, I've not listened to all of them, but I've listened to a fair few, and it's pretty good. Yeah, like, the concept of theirs is that of his one is it's very much so more like the Desert Island Discs show, where he has a guest on, and instead of being the dicks on the island, it's about what dicks would you put on the island.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's good.
See, ours is a little bit different because we've got our own lore to go with the island.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So, whereas this is a separate thing every week.
But, a lore that I've almost entirely forgotten.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. As soon as I say something, I just kind of forget it now.
Yeah. Like ages ago, Dookie was going to like do a whole like almost like a wiki of
do some stuff for us, but I don't know if he ever got round to it.
That's because Dookie got a job and a green card or whatever.
I was meant to do a blog this week, and I'm actually on the podcast now. So let's not go hard on old Dookie.
Dead Dookie. Good God. Dookie. What kind of a fan are you? Super fan. Ha. Dale, she's a super fan.
Hi, Dale.
So. Again, if you want to actually go and check out the Radio Haver stuff, they're still setting it all up, but you can have a wee gander at what other shows will be on.
They're announcing new shows almost on a couple of days basis now.
That's it.
I'm excited to see what other shows are and what kind of
tunes and music and stuff they're going to play.
I'm sure there's podcasts on Radio Haver that are going to be like, the Fife Club guys, you're kind of nice. Let's all bond together.
James, have you ever listened to yourself on this podcast?
Yeah. Jamie, have you swallowed the little book of optimism?
Jamie, I don't know about you, but I'm charged with the unenviable task of hearing myself every day. It's not the best job in the world. Someone's got to do it.
Yeah, fair dues. But yeah, you can check them out at radiohaver.com.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah. I'll get that in there.
There will be some good people there.
Yeah, there is. There's going to be some good stuff on
Facebook
it
as well. I think it's just find search Radio Haver.
Yeah, you can check them on Facebook and whatnot. But yeah, it's all very exciting. And I think there's a few other wee things we've got brewing this week, which will be announced later on. And hopefully that will all kick in as well. But yeah, it's all good. All cool.
Me too.
We literally just talked about it before we started recording.
Did we?
The blog?
No, talking to people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yes, we did. We did very much.
We did very much talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay, you can tell me after. Yeah. See what I say about forgetting things.
Yeah. Yep. Minutes ago. So anyway, if there are anybody out there, that's not good English, is it?
Be ye out there.
If there is anybody out there that wants to chat to us, wants to get in contact with us, wants to put us on the radio station, wants to do whatever, how would they do that, Jamie?
That's a strange offer. Like, judging by the people we know that listen to this, it's going to be some creepy shit.
That's very true. Yeah. How would they do that, Jamie?
Cover me in butter.
If you want to cover us in butter, or just part of us in butter, then please contact us on Facebook at facebook.com/fivecubpod or at fivecub, Twitter at fivecub, Instagram fivecub, email ken at fivecub.co.uk or on our website at www.fiveclub.co.uk, where you can buy our lovely merch or donate us if you want as well.
Yes. Yes, you can. That would be lovely and wonderful. So, anywho, around the Christmas mics with my good self Kutch tonight is good King Brown, he looked out on the feast of Stephen's Bridie. It's Jamie.
Hello, I had a Stephen's Bridie today.
I have something to say about that, but we'll do the interest first.
Okay. Well, next to him is rocking around the Christmas tree, it's a happy plume of hombre. It's Mark.
Hey. I enjoyed that. It's sort of very much that scene in Home Alone, where Michael Jordan's on the train set, revolving around the window. Yeah, I like it.
That's a nice little callback to last year's episode as well.
Thank you. Yeah. Watch out for Wet Bandits, guys. That's all I'm saying.
If you'd like to Wet Bandit us, you can also contact us.
And across from him is Jingle James, Jingle James, Jingle all the way. Oh, fuck's sake, he's a thespian and he hangs around school gates. Oh, it's James.
Allegedly.
That is excellent. Let's just close up here. I think we're done.
It's you've hated my positivity that much that you're ready to implicate me.
Shut it, you nonce.
Yeah, implicate suggests you have actually done something that you can't be implicated in. Not accused, implicate.
James knows what he meant.
So we've got sort of the Christmas buzz about us, have we?
No.
Yeah. There you go.
Christmas cold about me. Yeah. That's all I've had.
Yep. The seasonal fucking cold has struck at least three of us in the last week. It's why last week you didn't really have much of an episode. But yeah. we're here. We're doing all right.
Joe's, you know, really been annoying me this year.
What's that?
You know that whole thing about is Die Hard a Christmas movie? The debate that was had like a decade ago.
Yeah.
The question we answered in last year's Christmas special. Yeah, very much. Have you know.
Very much. But it appears to have come back this year with every fucking brand in the entire world doing it. With a bit of brand tour. Ooh, it's Die Hard. It's a Christmas movie. Fuck off and die.
Yeah.
Every single one of you people, or I'll go fully fucking falling down on you. Now, that is a 90s action film. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
You know, Nakatomi Towers is nothing to joke about either. It wasn't that long ago. You can't make jokes about it yet. Never forget. Never forget.
Oh my God.
Pray for hands, boys.
So
that really just pisses me off now.
It's just it's
like there's some kind of pop culture reference, and like within a cycle of a couple of years, it becomes something that people think they should sell to you back.
Yeah,
it's like, who's sitting coming up with this thing? Who are the people in the ad companies? I've always said it's an easy jump from like
thinking that you want to do something, like from like communism to like Stalinist communism, is such a very simple job. First of all, you just want to do something that makes everybody happy. Yep. Eventually, stupid people do the wrong thing, and then you have to murder them.
Yeah.
Wait. Are you a communist who's then going, stupid people have done the wrong thing, therefore I have to murder them? Or are the Stalinists the stupid people?
Everyone's stupid that's not me.
I just need to clarify.
I'm basically Stalin in this. I think.
Yeah. All right, Papa Joe.
Yeah. Make good pizzas. No, that's Papa John.
Papa John.
Would have been utterly different.
Also,
do you want your gulag bake?
Papa John was also a racist, though, like Stalin. So, yeah, you know, it works out. It works out.
Oh my god, we should start a pizza shop called Papa Joe's.
Oh, that'd be great. Cut the price with Stalin's cheaper ingredients.
Yes, yeah, Stalin themed. You will have Ukrainian tractor pizza. We don't need any more.
What?
There's no demand.
How about kind of pizza you sell? Cheese. What? You sell cheese pizza. What else? No, just cheese.
Oh, no, it'd be,
as long as we produce enough pizzas, then once we have pizza, we have everything. To steal a phrase from the Khmer Rouge.
Well, the irony of the whole thing was grain production that actually caused the end of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
So,
oh my God! Yeah.
There you go. That's a political economics gag for you there, guys. Yeah. I didn't laugh at the end of it, so you might not have known it was.
You make the joke as your life fades away. Yeah. In the instance of that.
Yeah. Oh, got right into political economy of communism again. Easily
damn
done.
That oil price being manipulated.
The complete lack of consumer goods.
Here's the thing for me though, is right, people are happy enough to do these things and put advertisements out to talk about Die Hard being a Christmas film. No one's fucking talking about the real problem that's in this world, that people think E17 singing Stay Another Day is a Christmas song. Is it fuck? There's nothing Christmassy about it.
I think James is right.
It's bullshit. You don't put Christmas bells on and say it's a Christmas song. You don't put snow and four mopey cunts sitting in front of a black screen with snow. Nah, that's not Christmas.
I've never seen you so angry.
I know. And the song came out in the summer in the first place.
Did it?
Yeah.
Did it?
They brought it out twice. They brought the song out in the summer and then for whatever reason they decided to re-release it at Christmas with Christmas bells at the end.
Oh well, we've been conned.
You've been conned all along.
Why do they lie to us?
Yeah, they're happy enough to put it on every Christmas.
Yeah, bloody hell.
See, soon as we're on a Christmas music rant, what is everybody's opinion of Fairy Tale of New York?
I love that song.
Like it.
Yeah, there's no real reason.
So the whole chat at the moment is about.
The language in it.
Yeah.
And they want to get radio stations to ban it because of that.
There's been a lot of chat like, oh, yeah, Kirsty McCall's just a bigot and, you know, and all that.
Well, that's what the jet ski thought.
No. Why don't they? Oh my God.
Do we have to edit that bit out?
I missed that.
I don't know if we have. I've gone strong early, Jamie, and I'm not sure I can come back from it.
No, that's staying. That's good. It's gold.
Oh, oh, right. I very much had my like patron saint of Rusty Coat Hanger already in this episode.
Oh, the best Christmas saint.
Yeah. To be fair, there's always has to have someone bring it up when the song's been talked about. Yeah. In any situation, someone has to mention it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You cannot. It's like Tourette's.
Sorry, guys.
No, that was good. I like it.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, the song. But yeah, like, I don't know. There's...
I haven't heard that this was a news story.
No, so
yeah, it's been pretty big a lot. Yeah. Last week it was.
Especially like Twitter and, you know, the social media and whatnot. It's just basically.
Opinions are made.
Some folk are saying, do you ban the song? Others are saying, do you bleep the song? Because of the line, it's. What is it? You scumbag, you maggot.
You cheap, lousy
you
faggot.
Cheap, lousy faggot, yeah. And it's like, is it offensive? Is it whatever? It's like, well, yes, it is offensive.
Yeah, totally.
But I think, like, in the context of the song, it's pretty clear that it's not well, not to defend the term, but it's all like all kinds of words. Words have to have context behind them. Like you can't, you can say anything, like, and have the, with the right context, it can mean anything. But you're not actually using a, well, it's not intended to be used as a gay slur, is
well,
it, in this,
it is,
in this song?
It absolutely it is.
What were you about to say, Kutch, before so, I decimate James's argument?
Yeah, no, so I think the thing is that, like, it is meant to be a slur. It is absolutely meant to be a slur. But, again, it's a slur that was used at the time. And I'm not justifying time, but at the same time, you can't ignore your history. It's also, and I think Shane McGowan came out and said about it that the whole point of it is that she is a horrible piece of work.
Yeah.
Like, they both are. Mm. But it's the kind of language that somebody at that time would have used. Like, absolutely. If they were meaning to be offensive and hurtful.
You wouldn't. The thing is, you wouldn't take it out of a film. I don't think you would take
that's
it out of a film
no.
because you're portraying a character.
Yeah.
But in the song where you're trying to portray a character, is it still important to take it out? I don't know. I've not even thought about it.
I suppose trying to be like Alan Partridge, but like times 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like instead of just being a bit of a prick.
Yeah.
I had that argument. That's not so bad. I'd say like, so I kind of agree with you, but at the same time, it's like, if it was other words, we wouldn't allow songs where it'd be bleeped out.
Yeah.
And
it's not like
gay people didn't exist back then and weren't being persecuted, which they were. So I think I think a compromise is maybe don't ban the song,
ban the words,
bleep the words. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, again, it's that thing. It's like people are saying,
"Oh, you shouldn't be offended by it." It's like, well, no, you should be. If you feel offended by that word, be offended by that word.
Yeah, totally. It's a fucking atrocious, derogatory slur. So yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, was Kirsty MacColl a bigot? Was Shane McGowan a bigot? I don't believe that's actually needs to be a question. In that it was there to depict how fucking awful these people were.
Yeah. They're characters.
Yeah,
characters in a story.
I hadn't actually heard that, but that's actually if that truly was intention and not just making it up retroactively, then.
Well, I've got...
It kind of makes sense, though. Listen to the song.
Yeah. Can I just quickly tidy up the point I made? Yeah. I don't want to come out saying that I'm defending the word fagman.
You
I
mean, beg it.
Outside gates.
I mean, like, when we came up with the song, it's not intended directly to attack people listening to the song. It's just two characters talking to each other.
Yeah, I don't think there's
any intent to genuinely offend people.
The
two people.
Would you broadcast a word like a song with the N word? I'm not even.
Yeah, it's used
in that context.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
No. And that was a slur used against a whole group of people. Yeah, generation. Yeah, totally. So it's like.
Yeah,
but I mean, like,
but that's the thing. So I'd bleep out. So obviously they do bleep out.
They do it. They've done it for years.
Yeah.
The N word all the time, but they wouldn't broadcast a song where even if it was art.
Yeah.
Where two people are arguing and one person called someone that word as a derogatory term.
That's where
I don't think it quite measures up, even though I think it should. I there's some sort of leap of logic there, but I can't quite square myself.
If it is a word that offends someone, of course, then by all means that's your right to do that, and it's understandable.
Sorry, James, I feel I put you on the defense.
I don't mean that to be defensive.
I was half joking when I was like,
I was having a conversation.
I was a bit conscious when I said it, and I just sort of wanted to type
I was having a conversation with somebody this week about it, and again about the intent as well, is that there's a lot of people, and I can see why a lot of people don't like it being used now, because there's a lot of people who use singing that song at this time of year as an excuse to be able to say that word with like real vigor and like
I've never heard it.
I've seen it like Christmas nights out and stuff, and
you see like folk pointing and laughing.
Yeah, it's just sort of like you cheap lousy bugger, and like and it's like that taboo word. It's that chance to say it without the
I mean, there isn't even the argument of it being a taken back sort of word. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's been done with the word queer, but yeah. Like...
But yeah. That's the thing, is that that's another side of this. I keep seeing people saying, oh, it's a meatball. Oh, it's a pile of sticks. Oh, it's like, no, it's not. In this song, it is meant to be a derogatory word about somebody who's homosexual. That is its meaning.
Yeah,
they've confirmed that is its meaning.
I've seen that as well, and I couldn't believe it. People using that. That's like a first year high school.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know what I mean. It's terrible.
Yeah, and actually, it's not like it's not even describing a gay person. It's using somebody being gay as an insult.
Yeah.
I think I'm with you, Jamie. I've just worked this through.
Yeah, and it's tough, isn't it? It's like
I see the character aspect of it, but I think I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I think just bleep the word.
Yeah, no, just
there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Also,
I don't feel some part of me doesn't feel that's fully satisfactory, but I still feel okay with it. I don't know. Like it's tough. It's weird.
I just quickly looked it up in the Telegraph. They said Pogues lyricist and singer Shane McGowan was asked to comment, but his answer was completely incoherent.
Is that real, or did you just...
Is it bad that this whole thing came about and that's when I realised that Shane was still alive?
That's my second favourite press line ever, then, after the... Yeah. Was it Gascoigne?
Uh-huh.
Turned up at Realm Moat, you know, with the thing. And they phoned his agent to see what's happening. His agent was on holiday and he said, he's doing what? That's the line that they used.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
There was a tweet through the week which was like how to sort out the problem with A Fairy Tale of New York by replacing the line but keeping the same sort of 80s sort of
cultural context.
Behind it. And it's, what was it? You scumbag, you maggot, you taped over Taggart.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's excellent.
You scumbag, you maggot, you taped over Taggart.
Oh. Yeah, that just works. Just do that.
Yeah.
There we go.
Just do that, people.
You quite enjoyed that. That's a line in the song, but guaranteed someone has said that in point in time of their life. A fit of pure rage.
Taggart was great.
It was.
So good.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite interesting how stuff like that. It's now been, it's good that it's been met head on nowadays. But
the other one that's been doing the rounds is Baby It's Cold Outside.
That's a tricky
I think
one.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
It is a little bit creepy, but I haven't read over the lyrics, so I don't know if it passes over to I think it might be a bit creepy.
I've read some of it. It's like it is a bit creepy, and it kind of is a bit creepy, rapey, creepy. But
it's not,
at the same
not like Blurred
time,
Lines, which was definitely
is it not
rapey.
The point of the song, but trying to find an excuse to stay.
I think that's the thing. Is that she's sort of like. The idea is that she's sort of like, well, I want to stay, but oh look, there's all these things why I should be going home.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I suppose it depends on your interpretation of the song.
I have no idea what song you're talking about. Baby is cold outside. Baby is cold outside. Tom Jones did a cover of it with Keris from Catatonia.
Actually, I think I do.
Yeah.
That album was banging. I will defend that album.
What, the Tom Jones?
The cover one.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Burning down the house.
It's like Tom Jones and Friends.
Yeah.
It's a great, great album.
They do, admittedly, not the best covers, but I'll still defend it. I don't know why.
It's a good album.
And it's Tom Jones.
The more I think about it, it isn't a good album, but I'm still going to defend it because I love
it. I think it was. And what a great way to have a bit of a comeback and become relevant again was to bring in loads of faces and of the time. If anything, it's a great 90s indie album.
Yeah. because Burn Down the House is what's her name from the...
Cardigans.
Cardigans,
And you've got...
Stereophonics.
Kelly, there's...
Robbie Williams did one.
Yeah. No. There's a whole load of faces on that. It's a good album. Yeah. Of its time, definitely.
Like the word. No, I'm not
gonna So we
other things I'm going to quickly say I hate about Christmas.
Yeah, let's go for it. Let's just
people that cover their entire houses in flashing lights. Right.
Oh. I'm with you, Pevin.
But I don't go, oh my God, Santa is coming to your house first.
I'm thinking, he sees me.
Yeah, I'm thinking Santa's looking at you and going, bellend.
You're getting fucked.
You're getting absolutely fucked. How big is your electricity bill?
Yeah. Like, although with LED lights these days, LEDs cost nothing to run.
That's so, a fair cop. But in years gone by, before LED, you literally don't have to.
Yeah, it's like Santa's not coming to you. You're on the naughty list.
Yeah.
You're killing the planet.
Santa's coming to you, but he's coming with a payday loan to cover those electric bills.
The thing is, it never used to happen here when we were kids. Like, there was always one house in each town.
So, and it would be famous.
Yeah, it'd be famous. Like, people do it.
I think there was Hank in Dalgety Bay.
Hank in Dalgety Bay.
The palm tree in his garden.
When Hank did it, it was cool.
Yeah. And everybody flocked, however, that his neighbours fucking hated him because the street it was a cul-de-sac, so it just meant there was just a procession of cars.
They'd heard the good news. We're coming to see their savior.
But I mean, that was spectacular. But he was American,
so there you go.
Was kind of why, because it was definitely a big American thing. I think there's two things. Was the American influence over Christmas creeping more and more across here? Also, lights becoming cheap. Outdoor waterproof lights just becoming incredibly cheap, to the point now where you can pick up a 20 meter reel for a tenner.
But it's like somebody goes into like the Tesco, buys all these outdoor lights and goes, you know, for a couple of weeks of the year I'm going to have a personality, for the rest of it I'm going to be a fucking loser.
Yeah,
like I don't need to, just be better all year round.
Do you know what, it's the fact that there's folk that do it from November, like mid-November.
That's the thing. Last year this guy did it across from my room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, so it's on the ground level. So it's on his side fence. Uh-huh. Who can fucking see it? There's a back path there. Directly into my room. And then I'm like, and he sometimes doesn't put them off. I'm like, what the fuck, mate? What the fuck? But this year they hadn't gone up. So I was like, I've been spared it this year. And the other night I went in my room. Oh, he's back. I've seriously thought about going in and just cutting them.
Like, I was like, does your room feel like how Matt Murdock's flat is in Daredevil, where it's just like constant flashing lights?
Yeah.
Well, James made a really sound point about, what if your poor kid has epilepsy? Like, Jesus Christ, no, Mom, Dad, you know I have epilepsy.
let's be fair, though.
Santa would see us.
To be fair, though, is it really Christmas until a child's had an epileptic fit over lights? I mean, come on.
Christmas is weird in your house, James.
Just folk having seizures or something over the thing.
A child trapped in the basement, an epileptic child trapped in the basement.
Hi, Timmy.
Flooding them with light.
I got this one from the school gates.
Now, Timmy,
I bagged them, Mum. Bagged them myself like a good boy.
It's Santa's sack. Don't give me coal this year.
Do you like
Sorry, James. We're
going to argue. You're really going home. It's like, hi, Timmy, do you like lights? No. Look at all the lights. But speaking of like... like celebrating Christmas too soon. I don't know if we talked about this last year's podcast, but you know, there's like a guy in England who literally celebrates Christmas every day.
Yes.
Every day.
Yeah. Like the weirdos who like watch royal weddings every day as well.
Oh God, really?
They're the
God.
Worst. Yeah. They all vote UKIP.
Brexit's their fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's weird. That is mental illness.
Like, he makes himself turkey dinner, like crackers, all that stuff. How the fuck?
Yeah, that's weird. Like, the other thing is, like, the thing about Christmas is it happens once a year. It's a small period of time, and that's what makes
it's too big a period of time.
It's too big a period. Yeah. Well, like, there was somebody in my street. I don't know them, so I can't name and shame them. But dear God, I fucking would if I did. I can't remember which number it is. Or I would reveal that.
It's
as
not
well,
my brother-in-law, is it?
Yeah, it is along the other way. Other way.
We're okay. Looking at the house as we speak.
Yeah, so they had the Christmas tree up on like the 25th of November.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That is too early to praise Saturn.
I can go one better than that.
Uh-huh.
I work with someone who waited till midnight of Halloween and then put their Christmas lights up. But when the clock went from the 31st of November... of October to the 1st of November.
It's like...
lights up, bang, Christmas.
You should be looking at them. It's like, you're a serial killer or something.
Yeah, that's...
What's up?
I get angry at folk like 1st of December hits, and like at work, it's like 1st of December hits, it's let's get the Christmas tunes on. I'm like, no, don't get the Christmas tunes on, because we've still got a month.
Yeah.
And there's only so many Christmas tunes. You can only listen to fucking Slade and Roy Wizard and fucking proper Crimble, which still does the fucking rounds.
Did we talk about last week that I thought that we should do a Slayer cover of Slade? Yeah. Did we talk about that?
I think so.
Oh,
yeah.
Did we? Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
That would be awesome.
It would be.
Yeah.
I'll put my hand up and say I'm one of those people that's like, 1st of December, Christmas tunes, folks.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You're too positive.
Oh, nah, my God, James.
There's 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah. That's a good song too.
Once you hit the 12th, I am done. I'm fine. Happy with it. Let's go with it. But honestly, see the fucking wind up beforehand. It's like a fight. Try to put folk off from having to. It's like, oh, let's put the decorations up. No, let's not put the decorations up.
No.
Just fucks me off so much.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, why?
What really grinds my gears is these Christians moving their festival to this time of year over my midwinter solstice pagan festival. What the fuck's that about?
There we go. There's the one person in the room that brought up paganism as the true Christmas. There's always one.
If you're not using intestines as tinsel, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's like, you do know that bringing the Christmas tree in is actually just bringing a big penis into your room, eh? Yeah, yeah, that's right. You've got a big
penis.
Which
is what I do every day.
Oh, it's just like, that's every room for me.
Yeah. We were both about there, too. Both of us were lying.
So hard.
I see your household is well endowed this year.
Actually, mine is incredibly well endowed this year. I got a Christmas tree that looked normal. Like, I got it from the same place, same height, everything. And then I got it in and like unsheathed it by cutting the cutting the plastic netting, and the thing flopped out. It is massive. Yes, I've done that all like a rolling out my dick joke.
I've now got images of you rapping to the solo. Yeah.
And why not, Jamie? Star
bubble
on the top.
On the end.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Two bubbles hanging off it.
But it's just so wide. Like, seriously, it's got so much junk in the trunk. It's like, it could be in the Kardashians. Like, that's all I'm saying. That's a pop culture reference for you young people.
Oh, Christmas. I'm keeping up with them. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree. My penis is all tinsel-y.
Oh, man.
Well, five fans, do you...
Do you put tinsel around your penis?
Do you put tinsel on your penis? Do you have garish lights outside your house? If so, email in and tell us why you're wronging.
Yeah. Yeah. If you know any sort of offenders in the Fife area that do this, send us pictures of the garishly hideous houses as well.
And we will judge them.
Yeah. And we'll put them up and we'll judge them next week. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Send us hideous, garish images
Put a wreath on your door, maybe some fake snow on the edges of your window. I don't even like that.
I think mine is a classy display. I've got little miniature Christmas trees, couple of wreaths, very much in a like two-tone kind of, I'm just green and green, red, and a little bit of gold.
Mm, That's classy. A little bit Dickensy.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah.
Please, Dickensian. Sir, can I have some more? Do you know what I don't want what? Any more of? Roasted chestnuts. They are shite.
Oh, I love a roasted chestnut. Yeah, no, I They're really good. Love a roasted chestnut.
What?
Yeah. And as I discovered last year.
I'm sorry. I'm like, I'll eat them, but... You know,
last year as
James
I discovered,
is torturing epileptic children, and I still think you're the monster.
Chestnuts are good. last year, I discovered I used to hate Brussels sprouts. I think we talked about this last week as well. Used to hate Brussels sprouts. Still, kind of do hate Brussels sprouts when they're not done right. But my wife does them with chestnuts and bacon in the frying pan.
Yeah,
see that combination. Fuck yeah, man. That works so good. Chestnuts are kind of soft and creamy. The sort of crunch and bite of the Brussels sprout, and then the saltiness from the bacon. Fuck yes. It's all good. So that's
I think your Christmas tree just went up talking about.
Yeah. I erected my Christmas tree.
There's something to talk about as well. Like the food. Like it gets more and more ridiculous as the years go on now. It's like supermarkets are sort of like, right, we need to make something crazy this year. And the theme of this year was making giant pigs in blankets.
Yeah.
That's just a sausage and a rasher of bacon.
It's fucking...
That's a good point.
It's, yeah, I mean, I suppose it kind of leads back to what we were talking about last week, where we've also got the ton of chippies in Fife that are now doing Christmas meals, deep-fried Christmas meals.
For the record, I was all for going to these places and doing some kind of review for Fife, but that got shut down with an instant.
I admire you. Your commitment to outside report, outside broadcast is like tremendous.
I was willing to break my diet just to do it. It's still got a hard no.
Yeah, but no, we having to go to Buckhaven and I'm just not willing.
Fair cop. What makes up your Christmas dinner then? This will be an interesting one. We'll go around the table. Okay. What makes up your Christmas dinner?
So my Christmas dinner depends where I am.
Yeah.
Let's say we're up at the in-laws en masse. It's usually turkey.
At mass?
At mass, yeah.
No, you don't believe in our Lord
no,
and
we don't.
Savior.
We don't. No. Heathen.
He died for us.
No.
Died for our sins.
No, maybe your sins.
Because he'd have to die a lot.
There's not enough crosses.
Oh, dear. Not with IKEA taking all the wood. These days, yeah. Half the world's wood.
I thought all the wood really? I thought all the wood was in your room.
In your tree.
Yeah.
Baby's got bark.
Is that right? Half the world's wood? I might have made that up, but I think it sounds right.
It kind of sounds right how big IKEA is now, especially with them like expanding in China and stuff. Yeah,
I'm sure I heard that stat, but like everything else, I would have to Google it to be sure.
Fair dues. But yeah, no, so it would be a turkey, would be the traditional like main meat. Then I sort of whatever anybody brings, because they're usually it's a collaboration effort. People bring in different bits and pieces, so you usually have like some form of tatty. Roasted tatty with something, carrots and parsnips.
So here's a question. Do you like parsnips?
Love parsnips.
Love them.
I don't. I don't dislike them.
Not even
but
like,
getting them right. Like honeyed parsnip done right.
Yeah,
done well,
like roasted, is, like battens with carrots. Do it in the same style.
Is nice.
Yeah.
I agree. But I could, like, for some reason they always like go to like, they sort of shrivel up and become like some kind of, like, the equivalent taste of a wham bar. like a vegetable wham
like
bar.
Really chewy. I think there's a happy medium ground on,
yeah, is
on
there?
The parsnip.
I've never found it.
Yeah, no, but
the only thing I like
honey and mustard on your carrots and your parsnips, that's the way to go.
Well, I was going to say, like, as well, the only thing that I like about parsnips is you guys, your friends from university, did this thing.
Like Scott and Fraze.
Yeah, they did a video where they said the word parsnips, like, parsnips. Like, honestly, from that point of time, like, I can't say it without parsnips.
Yeah, snap. It's become a local meme.
Parsnips. But we have pigs and blankets.
Yeah.
We have Brussels sprouts, carrots, parsnips. Some kind of like red cabbage thing is
in
the Christmas dinner.
Silent
field.
Producer always does red cabbage and
red wine
in that, and slow cook it in the oven in a casserole dish for like hours on end.
The silent producer is a great cook, but even she can't make that turn taste good.
Oh no, she does. Like one of like my favourite bits of a Christmas dinner is.
You wouldn't say that if she wasn't your wife.
No, genuinely. Cranberry sauce, everybody. Yeah,
well, my meat of choice is not. We go beef.
You go for a bit of beef.
We go for a bit of beef instead of the turkey.
If we're at home,
yeah, we have beef. We have like usually chicken, and with some people in our like extended family don't like chicken, so quite often we'll have beef as well for that reason.
Yeah, it's beef and ham for us.
Yeah,
I might have to leave.
No, see, what? if we're at home, we'll do
ham. I can go with because I'll go to Mammon later.
Christmas
ham's
in
my
Christmas ham, definitely.
Beef though.
Yeah. No, I'm not against that. Like I say, if we're at home, we'll have a duck usually.
Yeah.
Go for a duck because it's smaller and. Yeah. Taste like turkey is a bit bland, but it's good when you've got masses because you can feed tons of folk with turkey. But a duck for just like two folks always bang on.
Has anyone had a goose?
Yes,
yeah,
I've had.
I've never eaten a goose.
There was one.
Terrible, but like.
In fact, our first Christmas dinner in this flat when we lived here, we hadn't decided what we were doing, and then decided last minute we were going to have dinner here ourselves, and. Realised that we couldn't get anything, and in blind panic bought duck and had other people looking for like bits of like turkey crown or just something, but we managed to find a duck, but we'd also managed to get was it a pheasant breast? No, it was a pheasant and a goose crown as well, because people had been out looking. Yeah. So we ended up with three birds at dinner just for the two of us. It was fucking great.
Just like you back at university.
With your, I was going to say, Kutch loves taking three birds to dinner.
That never happened. Never happened.
A multiple bird roast is quite good for Christmas dinner. I've had that one year.
Oh, the end, like the Tadarkin or something.
Right, yeah. I always see that and I'm like, right, that looks... all the individual elements sound good, but it sounds like it might be crap. Is it good?
I altogether? Like it. I thought it was really nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Was that like a three bird or?
I think it was a three bird.
Because I've seen like the seven bird ones where it is like, it's like the turkey goose or goose turkey, whichever way around, then like a chicken, then a pheasant, and then a guinea fowl, and then a partridge. It's just like
I can't name all that. No, I was going to be thinking of like ptarmigan, blackbird,
robin,
thrush, that's eagle.
That's a Frankenstein's monster of a roast. It's like,
Dave will be on to you.
Does it taste like a sausage? Like, you know, like...
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, does it just taste like nothing because it tastes like everything?
No, you get a little bit of flavour from it. All the different flavours of the birds. It's quite nice.
Okay.
They still individually stand out, even though they're on their own roast. Mm. Yeah.
I don't know. I could imagine that, because you've got a lot of different, like, strong flavours going on as well.
Because that's the idea of the bird roast, is like, it's different types of birds, so there's different types
It's also usually
texture
taken off the bone, and then it's taken off the bone, and then like
almost. I think that's what I don't like about it, is that it's taken off the bone, and I feel like it's...
I think it's probably
more rather mass than produced, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know though, I've never tried it, so I can't really say.
No, because I mean, I'd say it's probably less mass produced, because that takes effort to take that many
birds.
It
takes time.
And then to layer them up, and then to roll them back together and sew them up. And that'd be a bike. An absolute bike.
Unless you have a machine that does like 60 a minute.
Well, true.
So like, if you've got your local boot,
can you machine that?
Like, if you've got your local boot just for Christmas, they're like, oh, can I get a three bird roast? And they give you a funny look. It's usually them saying, you better fucking enjoy it then.
the butcher in the town is really good, actually.
It's really popular.
Yep. Johnson's,
I think so. Yeah.
It's very good, actually. Used to get our Christmas stuff from there.
I've mistakenly gone in there when I used to live in a town just for like eggs and bacon and stuff, because it's nice. Just really good. And then sausages. Sausages. Oh, Lord. But then, like, hit the queues for, like, Christmas dinner, and, like,
it goes loads of people losing their minds.
Yeah.
But that's their thing, because it isn't we're like, I ordered the bird. This woman went, I ordered it weighed this much. And he showed her on the scale, and it weighed exactly. Actually, weighed, like, slightly more than she'd ordered.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, unreal. And it's like, I need something bigger. And it's like, well, we've got all these other people who need, you know,
ordered stuff. You ordered that.
You've under ordered. Exactly.
That's your problem now.
Christmas jumpers. People that are wearing Christmas jumpers are all cunts.
Yes, arseholes.
How fucking dare you? Fucking dare you?
You're actually wearing a Christmas polo shirt.
Christmas polo shirt right now from work.
Santa's resplendently placed upon James's
You know what? I'm not ashamed to admit it. I've got a bunch of Christmas jumpers, and this year I got one with Chewbacca that lights up. So fuck you, Payman.
Okay. There is a certain level at which I can accept a Christmas jumper, because there is one that says, all I want for Christmas is control over the means of production.
Santa hat.
I would be all up for that. But, you know, you're single-handedly depressing wages in developing countries, James. That's fine.
But as Jamie said, the little shits need to work.
Fucking job.
And we're back on. I fucking hate Christmas jumpers.
Yeah. Christmas jumpers. There's folk that I know who, there was a competition in my place of work, and to win a themed Christmas jumper, and they were falling over themselves for it. And I'm just like, why?
Like, I don't care either way. I'm not sure if I've ever actually worn one, but no. I don't really mind if people have them.
I don't know. I think
it's really good ones.
It's
some really nice ones.
It was always a cringy fucking joke for a long time. Like, oh,
yeah.
That person that came in with the Christmas jumper. Now it's become like this fucking industry in its own right.
Day, and they have a day where you raise money for charity, where you wear a Christmas jumper.
Let's just say, save the children. Christmas jumper day is a good thing. So yeah, if you're taking part in Christmas jumper,
it could, any other day with any other type of jumper.
Save the children by getting them jobs in factories making Christmas jumpers.
Very much what they intended, Jamie.
I'm pretty sure that's what that day's entirely about.
Yeah. What's that sound? Oh, that's another factory falling on 300 children. Is it, Jamie? Do you feel good about yourself now? Do they even know it's Christmas? No, they don't, because they don't.
They don't forget anything. All right.
All right, Geldof. Jesus.
What's child death in our Christmas special?
I mean, what's
I mean, mostly
what's,
it's about child birth as well.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that famous line from that film? Every time a bell rings, a Taiwanese child has already made a Christmas jumper. Oh. Is that what that is? Wow. Yeah, we might
That was like Bono's every time I clip my finger.
Yeah.
Child dies, don't click your finger.
Yeah. Stop clicking your finger, Bono.
If you give me the edge as well, I will cut off all your fingers. All of them.
Wait, was Bono just Thanos before Thanos?
Yeah.
Just one at a time. Rather than half the universe at one time, it was just one at a time.
That's the abilities that alleged tax evasion gives you.
oh man.
Bono was the original Thanos with the right idea but the wrong technique. You had to work on that a little bit.
anything else we just hate about Christmas?
I hate the fact that you hate Christmas jumpers. That genuinely hurt me.
I do not like Christmas jumpers.
I probably don't like them because of the having been at workplaces where it's like, you gotta wear it for your Christmas party. It's like, I just don't really want to wear it for my Christmas party. No, I'm already being like forced into fun.
Yeah.
Like, already. I don't do forced fun. Well.
That's one of those things. Christmas nights out. It's not even a night out. It's like you've got to book months in advance. It's all your football work that you don't fucking like to talk with.
The Christmas night out is the number one bugbear of mine when it gets to fucking May and somebody turns around and says,
we're booking for the Christmas night out.
That's us now booking for Christmas night out.
What?
And you're like, it's May. But you need to get in quick. But we don't, because every year we leave it till like about November, maybe the start of December, and that's when we book it and we still manage to get a night out.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you've got to book it. Everywhere I'll book it. No, nowhere's booking out because no cunt can be arsed with it in May. Just because restaurants put up their fucking Christmas menus.
Yeah. And it's not even a good menu.
It's the laziest slops.
Oh yeah, catch it. Just them doing the easiest
and
shittiest
it's
job.
But it's also the easiest shittiest Christmas fucking meal, which you've probably had about 12 of them before you get to Christmas, and they're all fucking subpar turkey fucking roll.
It's the freezer stuff. It's the stuff out of Iceland that they just put in an oven. Like,
it is. Yeah, I hate it.
You know what my kind of Christmas night out was? The one I had last night with Strange Sound Theatre Company. You know what they done? They said, right, we're going to this pub. And then we went and we had drinks and we chatted and had a banter. It wasn't like one of these, like, we didn't like book a table. You didn't have to do all these stupid games or anything like that. Nah, you went, hung out, had a pint like you normally do on a night out.
Yeah.
That's the kind of night out I want for Christmas.
This is why, though, people do who for Christmas parties for work can't do that, because they only go out once a year for Christmas parties. And then the pubs. Now, to be honest, I don't drink anywhere near as much as I used to.
Yeah.
But I used to be annoyed by Christmas night parties getting in the way
of my pub.
And queuing at bars and shit like that. Yeah. And it's like, why are you queuing? You just sort of stand.
Sorry, James, what do you want? I've heard that. What do you want? Harry, what are you having, Harry? I don't give a fuck what he's having. I want my pint.
Yeah.
It's also true that you go out on a Christmas night out and everybody turns into like a Southern Londoner.
What? Catch, I lived in London for a decade and it's my experience of Christmas night.
It's pretty much what happens.
People who are total lightweights as well.
Yeah,
have very poor pub etiquette and do things like try and nick like half your seats when you go up to a bar and stuff like that.
Yeah, and they, dancing on tables.
Yeah, they also and they do that. What's really annoying is you can, fair enough, do that in the Seven Kings. That's kind of what the Seven Kings is for. But then they come into good pubs.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They do it there as well. And it's like, oh, fuck
off. Know your place, work night. Like,
yeah.
If you're a work night out, know your place.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Sometimes they do bring out a little moment of levity. Like one time when I worked night out, not the biggest fan of it anyway, they had like a karaoke competition. And this manager that, not really the most active, it's probably, he doesn't get out that often for nights out and stuff like that, he took the mantle and decided, right, I'm going to do it. And he sang Burning Love by Elvis in the most tremendous way possible. And I don't mean that and he was singing it really well. I just mean he looked like a fucking fanny. And it was hilarious. And it's one of those just sort of like, this is a moment I get to have and enjoy. And someone filming it on their phone saying, we're showing everyone that, aren't we? Yes, we are. But like, there's those moments where folk make an arse of themselves and you're just like, you're never living that down.
Well, in fairness, we were in PJ seeing some local bands the other night.
Oh, yeah,
and there was a guy in a Christmas jumper did a forward roll on them.
That's true.
And absolutely twatted himself. Actually, and he was wearing a Christmas jumper.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, I was like,
when you decided that
more power to you, buddy. Done well.
That was good.
Wait, he just decided I'm going to do a forward roll.
Yeah. He was absolutely. He'd clearly been drinking all day, shattered in a Christmas jumper.
I clutched in a Christmas jumper.
See, the next day after that, Pimmin, I kept getting like flashbacks, that both of nice taste and of horror of old fashions.
Oh God!
You made for me back here because they were very nice.
We only made. Do you know we only had like one drink?
Oh man,
two did we?
No,
not?
I think we had two.
It not just
wasn't,
one.
It wasn't the usual.
You made an old fashioned, and then you made a Bobby Burns with your
Bramble.
Oh yeah, your Bramble.
We did have two.
But I was already fairly cunted by that point.
Yeah. Usually, it's come back to Pimmin's and he makes you an array of delicious cocktails.
Yeah.
Booze upon booze.
We were quite well restrained, I think.
Yeah.
But I think I'd had a good handful beforehand.
Like, yeah, you'd had a few before even
you got there,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was actually quite a good gig. We went to see Foreign Fox, local Dunfermline band, who were supported by the Cognac Twins and Dante.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was another band, and I'm really sorry, but I can't remember your band, your name. But yeah, they were all very good. Dante, I've seen them a couple of times. They're sort of Edinburgh band.
Wee bit trad, wee bit indie.
Yeah, they're a good mix of both. Like I've said to you guys before, they kind of remind me a bit of Ball Boy.
So somewhere between like Ball Boy and Rura and
I was going to say Stornoway. I give it a Stornoway vibe, off of them.
Yeah, totally. They're really
heavier,
good.
Obviously.
Thoroughly enjoyed them. The Cognac Twins, we were kind of drinking and talking during them, but it was kind of actually good drinking and talking music.
Yeah, very. Like, as a band, really, really tight.
Yeah,
like,
and
really,
just
really tight, really that, good.
That, yeah, I think sometimes background music's one of the biggest compliments you can give a band, that you can sit and talk and
and still enjoy it. Yeah, it's like we're still totally into it.
Yeah.
And Foreign Fox, where I haven't seen Foreign Fox in years, since they pretty much first started, but we're really good. Like the lead singer's like a friend of family from when we were kids, but haven't seen him in years. So, but they were like heavier than I remember them being. Like, I think they used to be more indie, and now they've sort of like
got a bit
that
of a
Scottish indie mixed with that sort of alt stuff that we grew up on, you know.
Definitely. Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah, good night.
Touch has got email.
Yeah, apparently. I've got mail. It was good. And PJ's, as always, is just a pretty good venue for gigs like that. It's got that wee bit downstairs, quite small, quite intimate as well. So even if there is a lot of people down there, you don't ever feel far away from the stage and all that kind of stuff. And again, because it's downstairs, it kind of keeps the sound in. And
upstairs it's a wee bit.
Upstairs is quieter and that, always good and always enjoyable. But yeah, that was a good gig. Good Christmas gig.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. Well, will we have a wee break?
Yes.
Because it's maybe time to bring this episode to an end.
Oh.
This part of the episode.
Yep.
Yeah. So go. And there you go. That was part one to our Christmas bonanza. Part two will come to you on Tuesday. That's right. Christmas Day. It's a Christmas Day episode. Woo! But yeah, just wanted to say sorry for the abrupt ending. We didn't quite know where we were going to split it. Thought it might be there, but wasn't too sure. It was there. But yeah, our next episode, which comes to you on Christmas Day, will have
Desert Island Dicks with a bit of ab, like last year, because we kind of bend the rules and are desperate for content. Woo! Nothing ever changes. So, hope you enjoyed it. Come back to us on Tuesday. And if you don't, Merry Christmas. Bye!